Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, teal and white
teal
in
and
the
white.
Books.
Yep.
Another year. This is the seventh year, is that right?
Of I think teal that's and right.
White. And I must say, of the teal and whites we've been to, most entertaining teal and white.
Yes, it was.
There were actually some goals scored.
Amazingly, yes.
Some open ice and offense executed.
It was pretty amazing.
It's usually played fairly close to the vest at teal and white. For some reason, everyone gets ultra conservative, but They busted it out, dude.
It
teal
fun.
And white.
It was fun. And the thing that was really, I remember, disappointing from last year is they do those 5-minute long power plays. Each side in one period gets a 5-minute long power play. And last year, neither team scored on a 5-minute long power play.
That wasn't the case this year.
No, I think both teams scored on their power play. So that was cool.
A lot of good things happened tonight. We'll get into our as much analysis as you can give on a, you know,
yeah,
a team scrimmage where, you know, probably 80% of the guys aren't really putting in their full effort. But we did meet some listeners tonight. We want to say hey to Mike,
right,
who is sitting in our section this year, and he came over and said hello to us. So very cool to meet you. And we also met David out on the concourse tonight.
We did.
So thanks for giving a little shout out to the dudes, and thanks for listening.
Yeah. Pretty surreal being recognized in the tank.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But it's nice to know that we're actually talking to somebody.
Right. And not just our parents.
Right.
Right.
We do know they listen, but they sort of have to.
It's almost like a rule.
Although we are full grown men at this point. Maybe you can kind of cut off that obligatory, you know, we have to listen.
Yeah,
at this point,
I guess they could, you know.
Like, does your mom come to all your hockey games?
Oh, no.
With orange slices and Capri Sun?
That would be so cool if
she
did.
Do hockey moms do that? I know that's a soccer thing.
That's definitely a soccer thing in California. I don't know if they do that. Certainly not. Probably not the oranges and Capri Suns.
Yeah, I remember the orange slices, the Capri Suns. It's too bad the moms weren't in, like, bikinis or something walking around.
Whoa.
What?
That's a little weird. Like, if you're, like, a 5-year-old kid playing soccer. That's just weird. Okay. This podcast is taking a strange turn.
I was thinking more for the adults. I was going to say, I'd definitely go watch a lot more youth soccer.
Oh, me too.
If that was the case.
Now I would. And then it'd be super creepy. Moving on to other things.
Talk about hockey.
We also saw John from Sharks page, and I was very happy to see him because I know that he took a bit of a hiatus throughout the summer. I'm used to seeing a lot.
As you're entitled to.
Of course. Of course. And we saw him. He was taking pictures and stuff, so it was good. We did get a present from John. Look at this thing that we got. We got this.
What is it, dude? It's a harmonica?
It says Stanley Cup playoffs on Versus. It's like a bottle opener, and it's one of those things that has like two metal sides, so if you connect them both, then it'll like make a sound. Let's see if I can make this happen. I don't have a bottle right here.
Nice. Every time the Sharks score, you're going to open a beer this year. Oh, that it goes for a while.
It does go for
a while. Our new seats are up right by the foghorn.
Yes.
So
it's louder up
that's
there.
Good. We found that out tonight. We sat up in our section, and boy, it's you know when a goal is scored. That's
yes,
for
you
sure.
Do.
It's a little bit of an ear shaker.
Yeah. So actually, teal and white, best ever.
Yeah. A 4-4 tie. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, 5-4. I'm so sorry. They did score at the end of the game. Do you remember who got the game winner?
Scarbosa, wasn't it?
Was it Scarbosa?
I believe it was.
Mm.
So that was cool. Lots of good goals. Some good play. Got to see Brent Burns out there. He's a monster of a man. He's
yes,
huge.
Brent Burns out there activating a lot from the point.
Yes,
very
activating
active.
A lot.
Dude, what would you say? I mean, very difficult to pass much judgment tonight, but
yeah.
What was the most exciting thing for you to see tonight? Most encouraging?
Well, we saw some. I liked the way Scarbosa played. Brody Reed had two goals. That was nice. It's just fun to see hockey again. I mean, none of the top players are really playing their best. One thing that made me laugh out loud for about 10 seconds is one time on the power play, Joe Thornton passed to Patrick Marleau, who is literally standing right in front of the goalie. Patrick Marleau stick handled, in front of the goal, like 2 feet away from the goalie, and then passed it back to Joe Thornton. And it's like, these guys are obviously not like giving it their full like effort to score, which just made me laugh. I thought it was really funny.
But, I thought the top line of Thornton, Marlowe, and Pavelski just looked flat out unfair sometimes.
Yeah.
That looks like it could be really special, dude.
It was fun. And Pavelski scored, and that's what we're hoping to see.
They were just messing with, with, they would hold possession. They were just messing with some of the younger players. Poor Mike Moore is just out there, you know, on a clothesline for half the game, just flapping in the breeze. These BVDs out and exposed. You know, it was pretty cool. You're looking at that going, God, could Joe Pavelski get 40 goals this year if he's skating on that line?
Anything's possible.
And the other thing that I loved, and we got a little preview of this tonight, was when the Sharks had the puck and they were taking the face off on off to the right, Pavelski took the draw and they put Joe Thornton's giant body right in front of the goalie.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. We may put Joe right in front of the goalie, or we might have him take the draw. You got three centers on your top line.
That's right.
The way they've decided to play it. Well, I was pretty pumped up about that, I gotta say.
Pretty fun.
Yeah.
Pretty fun.
Good times on the top line. You mentioned Scarbosa. Brody Reed is an unsigned player, you know, good enough to get a contract. Dude, we've seen the Sharks give contracts to players like Scarbosa, like J.P. Anderson, some of these other guys. Livingston, I think, got a contract this way. Do you smell a deal for Reed, or are they going to let him play a little bit in the preseason?
I think they'll let him play in the preseason. He's certainly doing everything he can possibly do to get noticed.
Right.
He's scoring in scrimmages. We've heard at practices he's scoring in teal and white. Did he score in the young
I think
prospects
he did.
Tournament?
I think he did.
So
I had to laugh tonight. There were a few checks, pretty good hits, and I felt like on the receiving end on all of them was Jason Demers, which made me laugh. Like, I don't know why everyone was out to get Jason Demers, but he just kind of he no one got like hammered,
no,
but he got hit hard like twice tonight, and off the second one I felt like he kind of looked up and he's like, why me? You know,
why?
I thought that was funny. We did notice Tommy Wingles, the best player in teal and white history. Last year, he was the guy who ran Logan Couture, and then Jay Leach promptly beat the snot out of him.
Right.
Well, kind of. He like turtled him up and like pounded him a couple times in the back of the head. And Wingles was all over the place again tonight. Right. But can he do that in a real game? We haven't seen that yet.
We haven't seen it yet from Tommy Wingles. It's possible. I wouldn't mind it. I have. You know, I appreciate the kid who's got a little bit of flair in the teal and white, not willing to, you know, play soft against other guys. It's not like he was going in looking for a blindside hit or something.
Right.
But he was not afraid to put a guy a little bit into the boards, maybe a little harder than most of the other players were checking. So I appreciate that kind of go-get-him attitude. He's trying to make the team. He's trying to make an impression. I don't mind that at all. He wasn't doing anything dangerous or stupid.
I do get the props points for there were no Martin Havlat sightings tonight.
Yeah.
He was not out on the ice. That is, I'm not proud of making that prediction because that means he truly is not ready. And they really were kind of hedging this week in terms of Havlat being ready even for the season opener. Wasn't too stoked to see Ben Ferriero on that second line.
Yeah.
It was not very effective tonight and kind of brought down, I think, the effectiveness of that line when you compare it to how great the top line was tonight. You can even say that third line of Hanzus and Mitchell and McGinn was a little bit more noticeable tonight than even Couture.
McGinn had a really pretty goal on power play.
He did. I was going to say one more thing. Oh, no Antti Niemi tonight.
Right.
We did see Nick Petrecki, unfortunately, limping around the concourse.
Yeah.
He was not walking as a normal person should. I'd say he looked a little bit like my neighbor, who's 103. She really is. You know what? My neighbor on the right hand side is 103.
Wow.
I've seen her one time in the window like a ghost.
That's crazy.
Yeah. She scared me.
Well, he wasn't moving that great.
No.
He was definitely favoring a side or something. And it wasn't great to see him limping like that. But
no Niemi, no Petrecki, the goalies, no Havlat.
Goalies
tonight didn't look that good. But like you said, as we were walking back, it's not like anybody was really playing some supreme defense. We saw Douglas Murray score tonight on his own goal.
Yeah,
you know.
That's true.
So no one was really blocking shots or laying anybody out or clearing the crease or anything like that. There was a lot of space tonight, a lot more than normal. So in a teal and white game where usually everybody's just so puckered up.
I think sort of the point of teal and white is to try some combinations together, see if there's any chemistry. You know, you work a little bit on the power play and the penalty kill, and you basically try not to hurt anybody.
Right.
That seems to be sort of the point. Because you don't want, like, Burns just bombing away, you know, hit some dude in the leg and break it or something. You know, you don't want to see something like that happen.
No. I thought tonight was entertaining. I actually enjoyed the game. For the first time, I wasn't looking forward to it this afternoon. I must admit, like I really was kind of like, I don't know if I want to sit through a 1-0 snoozer tonight.
Right.
But they made it entertaining. There were some really neat things to look forward to with that top line. Seeing Brent Burns out there was a lot of fun. And anytime there's a Jim Vandermeer signing, dude,
I just
get giddy.
Me too. Who doesn't?
Giddy.
Who doesn't? The last thing I would say is they did the shootout at the end, and Ryan Clough went to his signature move again. And
how do you not
again.
Know that's coming?
How do you not know that's coming? I mean, come on. Everybody on earth knows that's his move at this point.
That was pretty
hilarious. It was even like lazier than usual. Usually he even like, you know, he does that like open the blade of the stick in order to fake it like he's going to pull it forehand. And he still went to the backhand and scored again. He barely even did that. He just went to the backhand and shot and scored.
He's skating toward the net, you're all signature move. Like, it's just a signature move.
And then he does
like
it,
3 seconds later, there it is. I was like, I was about to say, there's no way. Like he's really going to do that. Like that, I can't remember. I think it was Sexsmith.
Yeah.
Not going to know that's coming. No, he didn't know it was coming.
Still scored.
I don't know, dude. That's pretty great. So the Sharks have their first preseason game tomorrow night in Anaheim.
I believe that's right, and I think it's going to be streamed on the web. I think that's going to be the only way we can see it. So.
Not on the Sharks website, I don't think.
I believe it's going to be streamed on the Ducks website.
Right?
And there's two home preseason games this weekend, so there's that. I don't really have any other information about that.
Yeah, there's no reports as of this recording in terms of who's traveling to Anaheim, who's playing Friday
Vlasic
night.
Wasn't out tonight. He's been sick, supposedly. And
I think the things that we should be looking for in the preseason are, you know, who's going to get these. There's probably four forward spots that are up for grabs.
Right.
I don't think you can say, you know, I think McGinn is basically a lock to be on the team, but is he going to be on the third line or is he going to be on the fourth line?
Right.
Is Desjardins going to be the fourth line center?
Right.
I certainly think so.
I mean, Murray seems to have the inside track at this point.
Andrew Murray.
Yeah, Andrew Murray.
And will Brad Winchester make the team?
Right.
Or will he be beaten out by someone like Tommy Wingles?
Or Brandon Mashinter.
Or Cam McIntyre was out there again tonight, which is a player that Doug Wilson was really high on last year. A college player with a long laundry list of injury problems who couldn't really put together a full season in the AHL last year. But he's a big, strong kid, physical guy.
Mm-hmm.
Can he have an impressive preseason? I think he's going to get a look.
Sure.
And see if they can justify not keeping Brad Winchester around after a tryout. The other question is, who is going to back up Niemi?
Right.
And it's open season right now, right?
Yep.
Between four guys who, you know, some have a little bit more of a resume than others, but I think if you have to list them in order of favorites for the position, you probably fourth place right now is Heemskerk. Third place is Sexsmith.
Right.
And there's a pretty big gap between those two and then Sateri and Greiss.
Right.
And dude, I'm making the call right now before we've even seen a single minute of preseason hockey.
Wow.
I've just got a feeling in this giant gut of mine.
That's some evidence-free prognostication.
I am going completely based on nothing other than a feeling. I think Harry Sateri is going to win the job.
I think it's those nachos you ate.
Or it could be just how wretched Greiss looked tonight.
He did not look good.
No.
He did not look good.
Him back overseas. Is there a return to sender?
Well,
I don't know. I mean, you know, logic says if Greiss even plays decently that they're going to want Soteri to be playing every night,
right.
You know. But if Soteri plays well in the preseason, dude, are they going to be able to justify not having him around? Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we're going to see.
It's going to be fun to watch.
All right, so much for Teal and White. Let's talk about some other Shark stuff. Angel Live's back on the air. I guess it's a TV-only thing again.
God, what's...
With EJ and Bill Pedo.
Who?
You don't remember Bill Pedo, dude?
No.
Bill Pedo was the host of NHL Tonight on ESPN way back in the day. He was one of the hosts way back. So
Where's Deb Placey?
I don't know.
EJ's going to be disappointed.
I wish it was Buchagrass. Actually, I don't know.
And... yeah, that is disappointing.
But EJ was back.
Good
and
times.
On the first day, they did two different, they previewed two different teams and talked to the GMs. One was Washington and the other was the Sharks. So they talked to Doug Wilson a little bit about some stuff.
Did they get any good stuff out of him?
No. it wasn't a very long segment. And, you know, they were coming back. So they were trying to, you know, hit all the highlights of the offseason or lowlights in the case of, you know, unfortunately, the plane crash and the terrible passing of, you know, some players. So they didn't have like a really long segment. So they basically asked him about, you know, Burns trade and this kind of thing. So there was that. So it was good to get sort of back in the swing of all that. The other thing I want to point you to is Fear the Finn did an interview with Doug Wilson up, I guess, went up to Penticton and saw the young prospects tourney and got some time with him. And the interview there is really good. And so the transcript has been posted in parts. I think two parts are up, the third part maybe tomorrow. So if you haven't read that, go to Fear the Finn and read that because it's good stuff. Definitely got a little bit more out of Doug Wilson than EJ did today because, you know, there was more. I like the fact that that Plank went after him about some, you know, more in-depth crazy stats as opposed to just goals and assists. He asked sort of a couple of questions trying to dig at that. Doug Wilson basically did admit that they look at advanced stats. He didn't say anything about, well, we look at it heavily or we don't, or we think, you know, he certainly didn't admit to be the Billy Bean of hockey, let's put it this way, but he didn't profess to be Joe Morgan either, who basically hates all baseball stats other than batting average, I guess. So
he looks good in a uni.
Right.
Put him out there.
Where's the socks, Will? Sign him up. So yeah, there was some good stuff in that interview. So I encourage everybody to read that. So it's good to get back in the swing of things. You know, I sort of feel like hockey season's coming now.
It's real. It's actually happening.
Yeah, it's fun,
dude. And talking to a lot of people out on the concourse tonight, the feeling is good at the tank. You know,
right.
Seeing that top line operate, the buzz back in the building. You know, it's got me pumped up, dude. I'm ready for some games. I'm ready for the Ducks to waddle into town. On Friday, speaking of the Ducks, dude, and I would also, as we're doing free advertising for our hockey
brethren, yep.
With Fear the Finn, and I will also pump up Hockey Prospectus, dude, which we've talked about before. We have professed to be admirers of their work, and their 2011-2012 yearbook is out. You can get the PDF of it on their website for about $10, and it's worth it. And I've only read the first article right now because it's about the Anaheim Ducks. And it basically is an 8-page analysis about how overrated the Ducks were last year and that there's no way in hell that they can repeat what they did. They're basically won like the most, you know, one goal games, and how much of their wins were attributed to just pure luck and how bad their bottom six forwards are. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it must have been awesome.
I cackled through most of the 8 pages, dude.
I might have to go. I bought the hard copy of last year's.
It's good reading.
I can't remember what they called it. They didn't call it the yearbook. They called it something else. Anyway, but I bought it in a hard copy last year. Maybe I'll have. I won't be able to wait this year, and I'll just buy the PDF. But that's good to know. I will definitely check that out.
What else is going on, dude?
Dude, there's going to be more hockey in the Bay Area, which is awesome. Despite the fact that the Sharks have, in addition to the fact that the Sharks have the largest adult league system in the country, which I read in like the USA Hockey magazine or saw in something, like 3,000 people play hockey at Sharks Ice.
Wow.
It's nuts.
That's amazing.
And so I know, you know, we fielded a question about like the ice.
You're included in that.
I am included. Yeah, I play on a couple teams. But there's going to be an additional minor league hockey team in the Bay Area called the San Francisco Bulls.
Yes, and ECHL team.
ECHL, so along with our Stockton Thunder. And so they're going to play at the Cow Palace. So the Bulls Cow Palace, I think that's where the tie-in is, because otherwise I wouldn't think of Bulls to be, you know, it's not exactly like San Francisco's a cow town. I guess it was once upon a time. But so there's going to be a new team. We're going to have to go check them out. And you had like a press release or something?
Yeah, I did, dude. I got to pull it up. I'd like to say that, first of all, I think they really botched the name, because they should have been the San Francisco Manure. That would be what I would have liked to throw
much
that
more
out
catchy,
there
that
at
been.
The at the Cow Palace, because that place just reeks like poop. Yeah, I love this, dude, this press release that was put in the San Francisco Examiner. It says the ECHL announced Tuesday that the San Francisco Bulls will join the league 2012-2013 season and play their home games at the Cow Palace. The Bulls are owned by a group of investors led by Pat Curcio, C-U-R-C-I-O, and his wife, Eloise. And they have relocated San Francisco from Salt Lake City. He will serve as president, general manager, and head coach.
So there's like four people in the organization.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy a minor league hockey team, and then I'm just going to do everything.
Yeah, I'll just do
I'm not saying he's not qualified. This guy might be a really great hockey mind, or he could just be a guy with a lot of money to burn, and he's buying a team.
There is nobody who's qualified to be president, GM, and head coach of any.
Well, maybe that's
team.
His role for right now.
I hope so.
All right. He says the on-ice product will be very entertaining.
I think that's for
after
sure.
They score, you just goal by the Bulls. You know the cowbells are coming out.
More cowbell. Yeah.
So what does this mean for the Sharks' affiliation with the Stockton Thunder? Do you think this means anything, dude?
Maybe on the move. I think they just signed one-year deals with the Thunder. I don't think they have a long-term.
It certainly makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, you want minor league to be as close as you can to the parent club, and you know, 45 minutes is going to be a lot quicker than about 90 minutes it would take to drive to Stockton.
And you could see what, you know, in Bakersfield and Anaheim, that's not that close. But,
no.
They didn't have an AHL team, so there, when we saw their Bakersfield team play against Stockton, they were chock full of their best prospects. They had McMillan, they had Timo Pilemeyer, right?
And the Thunder still beat them.
Right. They had some of their best players. So it'll be interesting to see how the Sharks, if they try and team up with the Bulls, if they decide that they would rather populate their team with some of their best players and have them that close. You know, they can watch them so much easier than playing in the AHL, but the level of competition, I imagine, is just that step down, dude.
Right. And the logo's kind of cool. It's a little reminiscent of that one weird, like, Stars third logo. You remember that with, like, the constellation of stars?
Yeah.
And
I feel it looks like Bullseye barbecue sauce to me.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I just finally decided that the new Winnipeg Jets logo looks like a casino chip. That's what it looks like to me, because it's round and it's got like the thing in the middle. It looks like you'd like turn over the logo and then you'd see a picture of Lance Burton on the back of it.
Okay.
It's kind of that's my final.
You know what that means?
What?
It means they're going to lose more than win.
Good. All right, dude, we're going to do some NHL news later, but we got to continue on to our season preview. This week we're doing the Central Division.
Oh, we're moving to the West.
So we're finally in the West. We did the East the last couple weeks, so I invite you to listen to those shows if you haven't already. But this week we're going to do the Central, which is, you know, at least for several years before, maybe a couple years ago, was basically the Detroit show, and the Detroit Red Wings got to benefit from playing at least three terrible teams per year, six times each, which, you know, may have inflated their standings a little bit. That may be changing this year, but let's start with Detroit, because they did win the division. So Detroit did make a lot of changes. They got Ian White to make up for Brian Rafalski. Everything else is pretty minor. Is there anything I missed there?
They added Mike Commodore.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty minor tweak, I think.
Right. Considering the Blue Jackets bought him out, I wouldn't consider that to be like a massive move by Detroit.
Right.
So they just sort of brought him in probably for depth. You know, he's not going to be...
Ty Conklin? Isn't there Ty Conklin there?
That's right. Mm. I think that's about right. I think that's pretty much it. So
no Madonna, no Osgood.
No Madonna, no Osgood. But, I mean, I think they're going to be as good this come... I mean, with Rafalski, they may take a tiny step down in D, but they're still going to be very, very good.
Yeah, you'll see Cronwall probably play more of a featured role.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what the pairings are going to be. Who's going to play with Lidstrom? Is it going to be Cronwall? I mean, do you load it up or do you keep him with Stewart, right? And does Ian White get the call next to Lidstrom? I'd be surprised by that, but...
I would, too, because neither of those guys are super big and physical, so you want to go with Stewart, who's a bit of a more of a workhorse, and then you'd have a workhorse on the second pairing with Cronwall, and you put White with him, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it shakes out. That's going to affect them, I think, and it might affect them early in the season. We could see Detroit maybe struggle keeping some of the opponent's goal totals down. I don't know if it's going to keep them from winning, but that they might not beat teams 4-1. You know, they might beat teams 4-3 just because they're going to have a hard time.
And Jimmy Howard, they're sticking with him, but I don't know if he's a great goalie.
Yeah, he's a good goalie, dude. He's good enough on a good team to get the job done. I don't know. You know, when you look at Vokoun saying that he picked Washington over Detroit, you know, basically he did that because he was guaranteed probably to get the starting job in Washington. Right. And in Detroit, it could be a 50-50 split, or he might even just be backing up Jimmy Howard. You don't know what the situation is, but I expect good things from the Red Wings again, dude. It's the same formula.
It's the same thing. And as long as they don't get, you know, a bunch of injuries like they did last year, they'll probably be most likely at the top of the heap.
Right.
Nashville was number two last year, but they lost Ward. They bought out Brett Lebta and JP Dumont. So Nashville and
Frazier, they traded
Colin Frazier. Is it Colin?
No, it's Kobe? Not Frit. No, Kobe Franson.
Oh, okay,
Franson. Yeah. Cody Franson. Cody Franson. Cody Franson, dude.
We knew we do our homework.
Matt D'Agostini.
Yeah.
They traded him to Toronto, and they also got rid of the Lombardi contract, right? And right. They add Nicholas Bergfors or something like that, right?
Right. So I've never been a Nashville believer. I'm still not.
Oh, come on, dude. We should know by now, right? We always say Nashville's not going to do well. They always do well.
I know.
And I still, my head is telling me they're not going to do well. You know?
Right.
They can't score. Who's going to score for them? You know?
Nobody.
And now they've got a core of players there. Two of them are going to be unrestricted next year.
Right.
And they're all wondering where the hell they're going to be. So,
well,
but
they got Weber. So that was the big signing.
Yeah.
So they re-signed Shea Weber, sure, which is a big piece of their
future. Maybe pissed him off in the process, right?
Perhaps.
So who knows, but yeah, I guess we should learn our lesson in that Nashville is going to be a playoff team again,
I guess.
Begrudgingly. Yeah. So yes.
Let's look at Chicago. They made a lot of changes. Mayers, Carcillo, Montador, O'Donnell, Frolik in, Turco, Skilly, Campbell, Kopechki, Boynton out. You know, not really core players. They're shuffling the deck chairs around here. Not on the Titanic, but they're shuffling the deck chairs around, sort of minor pieces. But, you know, Carcillo, if he can keep his head, he can be a pretty annoying player to play against. I can't say that they made up for Brian Campbell's ability with Montador and O'Donnell. So they've definitely taken a hit in that sort of number three or number four D spot. They're certainly going to be hoping for Yarmolson to step it up another notch here. Do you see any reason to see Chicago make a major move upward or downward this year, dude? Or do you think it's sort of right in this where they were?
They were the 8 seed, right?
Yeah, yeah, they snuck in on the last day of the season. Because
if I had to make a call right now, I would say that they probably, gosh, I don't know. Because I think this whole division is better, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
As we're getting to the two teams below, I think that they're better. So I'm not sure that they're a better team or not. I think people are discounting, like you just said, I think they're going to miss Brian Campbell. I don't think they're going to miss his cap hit.
No.
But I think they're going to miss him as a player. You cannot replace Brian Campbell with Steve Montador.
Right. That's not
you're dealing with two different levels of player here. Brian Campbell is if you're going to grade somebody and say, you know, Burns and Boyle are A caliber, I mean, mm-hmm. then Campbell's an A minus. Like,
right. He's a number two or number one defenseman on most teams.
Yeah, remember how good he was in Teal. I mean, he was so good. And then, you know, when he got to Chicago, he had to kind of change his game a little bit. But he's a plus 28 on a number 8 seed.
Yeah, he's good.
He's good. He's a good player. Right. And now you're replacing him with Montour, who had a good year last year. I think they're going to feel that. You know, that's a pretty big drop off when you go from Keith to Seabrook now to Jalmerson and Montador.
Right.
That's going to hurt.
Or Jordan Hendry or whoever else.
That's going to hurt, dude. That's going to hurt them.
It's going to hurt. St. Louis, they sort of did a fairly similar thing. They sort of took the Sharks leavings and they got Huskins and Nickel. Got Arnett and Langenbrunner, two old devils, and brought in Brian Elliott as sort of a backup to Yaroslav Halak, most likely. But they kept their young guys. I don't know if David Perron's even ready to play again.
No,
so that's
I don't think he is.
That's really unfortunate. So they had some, you know, TJ Oshie and David Backes, and they got some good young guys up front, but I don't see St. Louis making any kind of step forward this year, I don't think.
I like the Blues. I've liked the Blues the last couple of years. I like some of their core players, but the thing with the Blues that they don't have is that they don't have an elite player, you know, to sort of take them to the next level. They don't have it.
We thought TJ Oshie might become that player 2 years ago, and then last year he stagnated a little bit. They thought the same thing about Perron. Backes, you know, we've compared to Ryan Clough, but then we came to the realization last season that Clough is definitely better than David Backes. So... I think you're right. I don't think they have anybody. Well, they got Chris Stewart, right? So
right, but even him, he's not a superstar. You know, he's not that's a team that I think if they had, and this was never in the cards, but if they had gotten Brad Richards, like now we're talking. This is a team that you have a number one center. Now you've got a line of Backes, Richards, and Stewart, and now you've got a. But that's right. different. Now you're right. talking about something else. Like this is a team that if you're looking for someone to maybe be testing out to see what's going on with Spezza in Ottawa, I would think they weren't afraid to make a big move by trading Eric Johnson. I mean, maybe they should be looking to bring in someone like Spezza.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That could change a lot for this team. That's really, this is a big year for them.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
It's only so much... You can stare at the core of players and go, all right, when's it going to be time? I mean, you look at what's happened in Columbus. Right. They
talk about a big year. I mean, this is a huge year for Columbus going out and getting Jeff Carter and signing James Wisniewski, you know, one of the bigger defensive free agent signings of the offseason. And then they went and got Radek Martinik, who is sort of a guy that was buried on the island.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's a really good player. And they got Vinny Prospel, who's a serviceable guy.
Sure.
You know, I'm not his biggest fan, but, you know, he's certainly an NHL caliber player. And so going out and getting all these guys, like Columbus has to make the postseason this year, or they're gonna clean management out, in my opinion. Like they're gonna get rid of everybody. There'll be like a new GM, a new everything, because you know they've been waiting and waiting and looking for some guy that can help Rick Nash, who is a legitimate superstar in this league. And you know RJ Umberger is not the answer,
right?
You know? So they got to find somebody else. So they went and got Carter, and they went and got Wisniewski. They need to make the postseason.
If you had to pick, if the Sharks were taken away from us, mm-hmm. and one of the two franchises you had to bring to town, would you rather have the Columbus Blue Jackets roster or the Nashville Predators roster?
Oh, Blue Jackets.
You'd rather have the Blue Jackets roster.
Right now, I would.
You would. Even if Weber and Suter and Rene were all signed.
Well, that's a horse of a different color.
Okay.
You said right now.
I'm saying right now.
Right now, I would take Columbus because, like you said, I think they're up in the air about Suter and Rene. And, well, if they keep the same, you know, if we got Doug Wilson and the Sharks management, they might actually go out and try and get another... you know, some more players to actually make a cup run.
Right.
Nashville is just good enough to make the playoffs and good enough to lose in the second round if they're lucky.
And they seem to be okay with that.
They seem to be perfectly fine with that. And as a fan, that would be one of the most frustrating things you can go to. A mediocre to okay team every single year, but they never take the steps to actually try and build a contender.
So I think we would agree here that it is very possible that Columbus could jump ahead of Nashville this year. It's possible.
They're definitely going to be ahead of St. Louis. I think Columbus, I mean, they should be shooting for the number two slot in the division and see if they can beat out Chicago. I would like to, if I were them, I would think it's us and Chicago looking for that number two slot in the division. And if they
a lot of it also is going to hinge on which Steve Mason's going to show up.
That's true too.
You know, the one that we saw last year, not good.
No,
you know?
Not particularly.
The one from his rookie year, pretty damn good. So we'll see which. Although he's got a better D in front of him this year, we'll see what happens, dude.
All right, dude. NHL news: Drew Doughty still hasn't signed, which is awesome.
Wait, let's have a moment of silence for that. No, let's not. Let's enjoy every moment.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of... I know we've sort of bashed Doughty for not signing there last week on the podcast. And then this week, I've read a couple of different things, one on Puck Daddy, and EJ Raddick sort of made the claim on NHL Live today. He's like, if you're Dean Lombardi, like, what's the difference with a couple of years of contract? I mean, this is one of the 5 or 10 best, you know, defensemen in the NHL right now, maybe. You know, one of the best young ones for sure. What's the big deal about giving him 5 years versus 7 or 5 years versus 9? Just pay him the money, and in 5 years you're going to want to re-sign him anyway. What's the big deal?
Yeah,
you know, and to be perfectly honest, I'm a little bit, you know, that argument makes some sense to me. So I'm not quite sure here where to go, but it seems like, at least from what he said, is that the two sides are very entrenched, and there doesn't seem to be any movement on either side. Doughty wants less terms so he can hit unrestricted free agency sooner, and the Kings want more certainty and they want to lock him up for as long as possible. So, you know, the longer this drags out, the better it is for the Sharks, frankly, because the less he'll be playing.
No doubt. and it really kind of spins that entire team that is in a bit of transition anyways, adding in Mike Richards and losing mm-hmm. Wayne Simmonds and Braden Schenn, you know, to not have Drew Doughty. That's a giant hole in their lineup that makes me grin. From year to year.
It would be nice.
I'd be so surprised if by the end of the training camp that he is not there. But as I said, as we were walking to the game, every day he's not there, it's good news. It's good news for the Sharks. It's one less day of practice. It's one less day of, you know, I think you could train on your own. But when you get in there, I think you still need some time to figure out how to have that, you know, chemistry with all the other guys and get back into that game rhythm. And you know, every day he's not there, it's an advantage. Advantage Sharks.
That's right. Good. And he had a bit of a down year last year. And you know, it might be harder for him to rebound with a better year this year if he's not playing now and doesn't play in October.
Possible Dean Lombardi's still on the Sharks payroll and we don't know it yet. And it's just kind of like a secret spy, and he's like deliberately sabotaging. Finally, he's sabotaging the Kings for us, and now this is their chance, really, to make a good push at us. You know, to be that strong second team in the Pacific, whereas a couple of the other teams, you know, there's a pretty clear separation to me, mm-hmm. you know, between, you know, got Sharks, Kings, and then you've got the other three,
right?
And every day he's not there, bad news for them, good news for us.
That's right. Dude, is there any other NHL news that we should be addressing here this week?
I don't think NHL news.
Yeah.
But we do have some fantasy hockey news.
That's right.
That's right. All of our leagues are full, and we did open a fourth league, and it was full within about 12 hours. It filled up. So that's pretty exciting. So those of you who have signed up to play, we're drafting next Friday night. And we will be there live for all four drafts.
Oh, my God.
No guarantees what kind of state we'll be in by the last one.
Yeah. Well, might be drafting, you know, Jody Shelley or
something.
Dude,
we did a draft this weekend in a league that's not run by us. And someone picked Niemi with the fourth pick.
Overall. Not the fourth pick of the eighth round.
No. The fourth pick overall, dude. And my jaw hit the floor as much as it can for Yahoo Fantasy Hockey.
Were the first three picks all goalies?
No.
Only then could I even possibly have seen that as real.
It was real, dude.
I mean, if it was like Thomas, Luongo, you know, Halak or Vokoun.
No, we had the third pick, and the first two guys, very predictably, are Sedin and Ovechkin. Mm-hmm. And then I took Stamkos, you know?
That's so amazing. We got him three.
Yeah. And then
he's the best player, maybe best scorer in the league and on a good team.
And then right after that, Niemi. I'm like, oh, what? Man, that's brutal.
That reminds me of last year. Someone drafted Scott Gomez in the second round. Not nearly as bad, but that was pretty funny at the time.
Yeah. So anyway,
we probably lost to that team in the fantasy playoffs, actually. So I shouldn't, shouldn't mention it.
He's the key.
All right, dude. So good. I'm glad we had things to talk about here. We're going to have some preseason games to talk about next week.
That's right. We did get a question that we're not going to get to this week, but we will get to you next week.
Okay,
right,
we will.
Or you want to do it now?
No, let's get to it next week.
We'll do it next week.
Yeah, we got to have a little teaser. Questions at dudesonhockey.com is the email address, or you can tweet at us and all that kind of stuff.
That's right. We did get some folks tweeting at us tonight wanting to hook up at the game, and we are maybe looking to do something opening night.
Yeah, maybe. We got it kind of late, so we couldn't really set anything up, but maybe opening night we might try to find something.
That'd be awesome.
Cool, dude. See you next week.
Dude, see you next week.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.